Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wednesday edition. These Saturday games, man. Throw everything off.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
I know it's more convenient for you. You were hoping for Saturday night. I wasn't.
Why weren't you? You're a guy who loves a day. You get a Sunday. What are you talking about?
Because I would rather have Saturday when Sydney's in a volleyball tournament in the Dells edition.
I forgot that the media starts with me. That's on me.
Easy over there.
What do you mean?
That's got nothing to do with media. Father starts with, that's what I like to do better,
Fa.
Edition.
Father starts with
I delivered various video clips for Jesse Nelson, and I got a salute and a T-Y-F-Y-S, which you know Tausch loves a good acronym. That, of course, is... Thank you for your service. Edition. And the Brian Bulaga and Uncle Homer scheduled to appear. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. 100.5 ESPN Madison. 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com. The ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And of course everything you need. On the... It's not really all new anymore. It's just all awesome. ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios from his undisclosed location after spending yesterday in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Or was that Monday?
Wait. That was yesterday.
Okay, just checking. Is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tauscher, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you doing?
Glad to hear you're doing great. What is the cap man's deal?
What did he do now? I saw he called me, and I don't know about you.
He didn't call me.
I didn't have my phone.
He just called me out.
Go ahead.
And he called you out, too.
Oh, what did he say? Okay, well, let me hear about it.
So, wait, you did not get to talk. He called you to tell you that he called you out, you think, or...
I'm guessing I didn't see. I prefer a text, and then I can call if necessary. Later.
I called you yesterday, though. In fairness,
yeah, and I answered. And I talked.
Thank
to you.
You.
Yeah, we have an agreement. Usually, we nothing pressing, but if there's something we want to hash out,
sure.
So, what did Cap say? Cap is Cap, man.
He's
the goat. He's one of the goats. He's Homer down in Chicago.
Agreed. He is phenomenal. Now, I'm looking at the rundown, which I know you enjoy reading through as well. And I don't see anything from him calling me out and telling me to not be soft or something to that effect. Jim, Matt, and Molly played that for me when I was on with them yesterday.
And how'd that make you feel?
Yeah, no, I know it's not 11:15. I understand. But I thought I was pretty proud of my response because I was irritated. There's no doubt about it. But look, just own your coach's behavior was my point to the cap man. Like, yes, I'm sure he was just saying it because that was what they did. They played their guys. That's the only reason he was saying it. Had nothing to do with what Matt LaFleur did. You're right. Had nothing to do with the guy that he called out by name in his press conference. I'm sure it was completely irrelevant to the way the Packers approached their regular season finale, which, by the way, you, just like they, lost your last game. In fact, you lost your last two games. And they were close games, which you seemingly had won all of until that point. So it'll be interesting to see how Saturday night goes. But I did not hear him go after my podna. I got to hear the little clip. It was kind of at the end. He was hanging up. So it wasn't exactly extensive. But I'm guessing that this is a little more extensive because it did indeed make our show sheet. David Kaplan of ESPN Chicago, I'm quoting now from Jesse, is a great teammate of ours, but he's found a new hobby of calling out ESPN Wisconsin hosts during Packers-Bears weeks. His latest target is one Mark Tauscher. Let's hear what the Catman had to say about old T.
Arguing with Mark Tauscher, who keeps, you know, telling me, we've got a better roster than you. No, you don't. And if you could pick any of the four quarterbacks in the NFC North, Jared Goff, Jared Love, Caleb Williams, and J.J. McCarthy, and they're your guy going forward. I don't mean for one night. They're your guy going forward. There isn't a human alive that would take anyone other than Caleb Williams. Who has a better offensive line? Tooney, Dahlman, Jonah Jackson, Darnell Wright. That would be the Chicago Bears. Who has a better wide receiver room? That'd be DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Luther Burden. I love your tight end, Tucker Kraft. Mm-hmm. I also love Colston Loveland. He is an outstanding player. Are you better defensively? Yeah, when Mike is healthy, he's the best defensive player in the NFL. He may not be the sack guy that Myles Garrett is, but total defender, I'll give you Micah Parsons. Unless there's a miracle cure by Saturday, he's not dressing.
I know. I wouldn't pick Jared Love either. That's fair.
Go back and put that picture of Cap up. Because I know he's got the cheese grater on his helmet. He kind of looks like, I'm not going to go down. Cap's got the grater. He's all in on Chicago. He doesn't even know Jordan Love's name.
What the hell was that? What does he look like?
Didn't he just call him Jared Love?
He did. Yes, he said that.
Indeed, he did. So, yeah. I mean, and I know we all misspeak. Trust me, you do 15 hours a week, and Cap does TV and does everything else. So, I get it. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Cap. Every NFL person would take Caleb Williams over Jordan Love is absurd. I'm pretty sure if I really got Ryan Poles, and I don't know if he drinks, if I got him a Coors Light or a Tito's, and we were just chatting it up, I would think that he ain't going to be mad if he has Jordan Love. Jordan Love has produced more in this league than Caleb has. Jordan Love can complete more than 60% of his throws. Caleb can't. Like, these are just the facts of where we're at. So the Bears, I give them credit, man. I don't know how much other – they won the division. There's a lot of angst down there for a team that has won the division and has exceeded expectations. Come Sunday and Monday, and again, I don't know what's going to happen Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I know Green Bay should win. Green Bay is expected to win. And, yes, when you take two of your four best players off your roster, yeah, it's going to hurt. No doubt. But that doesn't mean that this is his point on the O-line, I'm going to give him. Their interior three are better than ours.
Yep.
As we sit here right now. I'm sorry, I'm taking Zach Tom over any of their tackles. And Wright has had a nice year out at right tackle. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But give me Zach Tom all day and every day. Hey, this is a fun rivalry now. The Bears have finally said, let's come back into the party. It's been 20-some-odd years. Hey, welcome back. It's fun. Now we'll see how much fun it is for either of these fan bases because – especially from our standpoint, there's something. It's been Minnesota and Detroit the last, you know, 5 or 6 years to take 2018 out of the equation. We haven't even really thought about Chicago. I mean, Homer, the cap of ESPN Wisconsin, he said it's not even a rivalry. He put it on par with, like, playing Jacksonville. After a stretch when we had won so many, when Matt LaFleur had won so many games in a row.
11 in a row.
Versus the Bears. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even really argue with him. Like, yeah, there's some historical context yet, but yeah. So, hey, welcome to the party. This is fun for fans and media. And it's going to be completely, like, if things go south and it's not good Saturday, it's going to be a long offseason to listen to all these chirping fools on Chicago Twitter with Green Bay Twitter. Ugh.
Yeah.
So as much as I want them to win to keep chasing championships and to, you know, it's just more fun when there's games for the show, I really want it just so we don't have to sit here and listen to that. The stuff Cap is just spewing there for
so
8 months.
So let me ask you a question. So obviously I'm a reporter. I've been a reporter for a really long time. I don't operate in the fan realm.
Not a fan. Yep.
You will not see me wearing a cheese grater or a cheese head on this program. You may see me wearing various hats when I haven't showered, but that's about it. You are a former Packers player.
Yep.
Waddle and Sylvie take a different approach than me because, again, Sylvie, who's awesome at what he does, is unabashedly a Chicago sports fan. I am curious for you when you look at Cap, who, again, is the GOAT of Chicago sports talk. Yes, he is. He's their homer. When he's wearing a cheese grater on his head, how much objectivity is there to his view of the Bears roster vis-a-vis the Packers roster and the Bears quarterback vis-a-vis the Packers quarterback? Because I would say this, he may ultimately be right about Caleb Williams. He may turn out to be better than Jordan Love.
Maybe.
But today, he's not.
No, and I don't even think, and we'll see Saturday. I don't think it's close as we sit here today.
So
just
how
from
do
the
you,
quarterback spot. Now,
so how do you handle this part of it? Because I feel like you are objective despite your alumni status as a Packer. And I feel like
I try to be,
unless he's really upset with the Bears, which then Cap is also extremely entertaining. But like now that they're good, like it's all puppy dogs and ice cream and seashells and balloons with him.
Cap is a fan. Cap's a journalist that is a fan. Everybody has different approaches to things. He wants the Bears to do well. And when they don't do well, he lets you know about it. I'm more along the lines of I want the Green Bay Packers to smoke Chicago. The other thing I don't get, you know this whole cheese grating thing? And I heard Leroy Butler, I think he was on Kay Adams yesterday. Shredded cheese is good. Like when you're trying to rip into your fan,
was that Leroy's
line?
Yeah,
no, that's what Leroy said. And I started thinking, you know what, Leroy, Hall of Famer. You know he is awesome. You know, awesome representative of the Green Bay Packers,
no doubt.
Cheese grating. Who doesn't love grated cheese? You get a cup of chili. I'm sorry. Some would say that grated cheese is better than regular cheese. They're not insulting us with cheese graters.
Come on.
Like, are you insulted with... No, I'll be dead serious.
Okay, no.
Leroy said this, and I had never thought of it. I kind of agree.
Okay. Well, of all the things Leroy has accomplished in his life, inventing the Lambeau Leap, reaching the Pro Football Hall of Fame, being on a Super Bowl championship team, the
cheese
whole
grade, the
imagery...
The cheese grater helmet is not...
The imagery of the cheese grater is we're going to shred you. It's not necessarily, cheese is tastier if it's shredded, because I don't want to eat a big chunk of cheese either, like I'm eating an apple. I prefer my cheese shredded as well. But the cheese, if you're doing that to the cheese, let's give the cheese feelings. The cheese itself is not enjoying being shredded by the metallic shredder. I think that's the imagery there. And you know that.
And all I'm saying is, you're looking for results. Like, that's what sports are. Sports are about results. And you put that cheese grater out there, and you mix up some great cheese, and you're making a taco bar, or you got a cup of chili. You know, if you're putting cheese on top of enchiladas when you put them in the oven.
Enchiladas, I love
those. I'm sorry. I don't think that's I don't think it's that big a deal. But you want to walk around looking like a buffoon, go for it. We got our cheese heads. We're going to go about our business. And if you want to come and make our cheese good and even in some cases better, I'm all right with it.
Why did it take so long for someone to come up with this?
Oh, I don't think it took so long. It just never stuck. There have been people with cheese grater helmets.
Right, but they're
somebody's
always homemade. Finally produced, people like made
somebody's
them themselves.
Finally producing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a Bears fan decided to do this and try to make a little bit of money, and it seems like it's working.
Mm. Well, maybe they make enough money that they can upgrade their windows with the good people of Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And for your New Year's resolution, the sky is the limit. Pella zero interest for 4 years. Finance offer is here. No payments. No interest for 4 years. I think the Bears went a couple of times without winning a game over those 4 years. Think of everything you can do in 4 years. Get a college degree. You can win 4 world championships. You can raise your toddler and they're ready for school. Or you can serve a full term as president. Start your journey towards meeting your personal goals and enjoy Pella's highest quality products with exclusive features custom made for your home. This deal ends January 31st. So schedule a free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
We'll hear from Matt LaFleur next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Brian Bulaga scheduled to appear at 9:30. We always enjoy our time with him. But before that, look, Cap and I can agree to disagree on, well, just about everything, including headwear. But on whether or not Ben Johnson was in any way referring to Matt LaFleur resting his guys, and the Bears playing their guys, and both of them getting the same result, a loss in Sunday's games in the regular season finales.
Jason, would you rather have your guys go out, compete, and keep it rolling and lose, or do what the Packers did? You had to pick. Which one are you going with?
I'm doing what the Packers did, because going out and competing and losing also means playing a very physical football team, and that takes a little bit of starch out of them. I'm not saying they're going to lose the game. I'm not saying they're going to lose the game because of it. Don't get me wrong. I don't know who's going to win on Saturday night, and I'm not arrogant enough to say that there's no doubt that the Packers are going to run them out of their own gym or anything like that. But, again, given where the Packers were at, I came around on it. And look at their injury report. One dude would not have taken part in practice had they had a real practice yesterday. And that was Bo Melton, who got hurt against the Vikings. Zach Tom is going to be back. It looks like, and again, we don't know, the concussion protocol is a fickle thing, but it looks like he practiced yesterday. Dontavion Wicks will be back as another option in the passing game. Malik Willis is going to be back. He will be the backup to Jordan Love. Jordan Love did not get put in harm's way. And I still love the fact that he was going to hand off if he had to go into the game. And Jaden Reed said, I would have rather played quarterback then if that was going to be the case, because he didn't want to risk it with his quarterback either, which I thought was nice of him. I just think it was the right thing to do to get them as healthy as possible. Do you disagree?
It's kind of a referendum. It's kind of a referendum we're going to find out on Saturday, right?
Well, do you think that what they chose to, because here's the problem, right? It doesn't necessarily mean causation. Now, I will say I am...
But it also could cause causation.
It could, right. No doubt. Not
so
necessarily.
We really aren't saying anything when we just... Because you literally just made two sentences and we said the opposite thing, and they're both true.
Because we don't...
So the causation of that is it didn't make any. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But okay. You know this better than anybody. If this goes and we start off Saturday,
this is sluggish exactly what I was about sluggish. To say.
Mm-hmm. You know the causation will play a factor, and that's Matt LaFleur knows that too.
Uh-huh.
He's a big boy.
Uh-huh.
So the referendum is there. We'll find out.
No doubt. And that is one of the number one things that I am extremely curious about on Saturday night.
Is this a preview of your top three at three?
Maybe.
That you do?
Maybe.
Okay.
Brought to you by Associated Bank. It's not branches that make a bank local. It's roots. Associated Bank roots is run deep in Wisconsin.
It's also not the top three at three. That's a
yeah, I know. But I again,
close
among
enough.
My resolutions, fewer corrections. I'm trying to really reduce that.
Good luck.
That's good luck.
Who you are.
All right. If
why
I
would you change your? Why would you change who you are?
Yeah, that's not a that's good resolution at all.
Stop! Don't like if you want you get in shape and do all that stuff.
That's
all great.
On the list too. Yeah.
But to change your overall like personality.
No, I've
what are
I've
you doing? You're 52 right. years into this. You can't just change. That'd be like me saying I'm just going to agree with everybody and say, "Oh, great job, got it."
No, it's not the same. No. It's not the same.
It's literally the exact same thing.
No, it's not. So see, there you go. We're disagreeing. No, what it is cost benefit analysis. Much like you with the, I'm not going to say anything that irritates Wilty until 11:15 or later.
Well, that was Jesse's idea.
Are there? Thank you, Truman. Is there an upside to the corrections? Now, if it's a factual correction that needs to be made for our fans' benefit, I will still do that. But if you say, because already in this new year, there have been some words that are not actually words that I was tempted to say, you mean blank? And I said, no, because there's no good that comes from that. It's cost-benefit analysis. Anyway. Matt LaFleur does some cost-benefit analysis. Nice face. Is that your new face?
No, that's your face.
I asked
putting a cheese grater on it.
I asked Matt LaFleur yesterday, and Jesse thinks his answer was underwhelming. I think his answer was exactly the point of the question, because I was not expecting him to say, you know, Ben Johnson can say whatever the hell he wants. He's got a little bit bigger ego than me, so he likes the attention, so he says stuff to get attention. That's fine. He's got a really good football team. He's a really good head coach. You know, we want to beat him on Saturday night, but, hey, we all do this job differently, and if he wants to do it that way, that's cool. Right? Mm-hmm. There was no way Matt LaFleur was going to say that. But I did think it was interesting to see how he would react to this question.
I know this is one of your favorite parts of your day when you get to talk to us. I'm curious philosophically, do you intend, like McCarthy used to say he was boring by design. Obviously some coaches decide to get to the podium and say things that might poke their opponent. Do you have do you make a conscious effort to avoid that kind of stuff? How do you kind of approach this part of your job?
I just try to give you as much honesty as I can. So, and as much transparency as long as it doesn't hurt our football team.
Which, by the way, is exactly what I want from him. Do I want good quotes for my stories? Absolutely. But I think he's been pretty transparent with us in his 7 years. And that's all I really ask for. Honest and transparent. Don't lie to me and give me as much as you can without hurting your football team. But yes, that was a boring answer, Jesse. You're exactly right.
What if telling you the truth is hurting the football team?
Then I would say I like it when he says, well, we'll see, or you'll have to wait till Saturday night, or whatever it might be. Because I don't think, and I would have to go back through 7 years of press
conferences.
Because
that's why you hate Goody, right? Because he lies.
I'm sorry. What word was that? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I said dislike. I pulled back. I said dislike.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought you weren't going to correct him as much.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Jason.
He corrected himself.
No, you did.
I asked you,
but you
what
corrected
word you said.
Correct.
Again,
his resolutions are very confusing.
I didn't correct him. I did not say, hey, you're not allowed to say hate. You told me I'm not allowed to say it. You're not allowed either. Anyway, I understand there are times when you can't tell me things because it will blow up a trade you're working on or whatever else it might be. But yeah, Ron Wolf didn't lie. Ted Thompson didn't lie. Now, did they obfuscate? Did they evade? Did they say, I can't tell you that right now? Yes, all those things. But I don't want to be lied to, that's all. And I don't hate Goody because of it. But it did, I don't even remember what that was about. It was so long ago. But it did, when someone is dishonest with you, that does change how you view them a little bit, right? If I lie to you,
I agree.
That would affect our relationship.
Absolutely. I agree.
It's no lie that the Packers will be in Chicago on Saturday night taking on the Chicago Bears. We will continue to get you ready for that game, including with our good buddy Brian Bulaga, who is scheduled to appear. Now, he has Bears fan buddies, right? Like, he's, as a Chicagoland guy, he's got a bunch of Bears fan buddies.
Well, now he's down in Florida, and you just have a bunch of, what's the word that you're traveling around?
Snowbirds?
What's the word I'm looking for? No, not vagabonds, but like people that just get kind of like whatever. They don't really.
Transients?
Maybe transients is the word I'm looking for. Something of that ilk.
Transplants?
I don't know Floridians. They're especially moving around. I don't know how many Bear fans are down in the Florida coast that Brian's at. So I guess
Tausch,
I'm sure he does.
You were gone last week. Did you hear him say it was too cold
to go to
the...
I wasn't gone last week.
You were away from the show on a day in which Brian Bulaga appeared.
Oh, and we had a show. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And he said it was too cold to go to the ReliaQuest Bowl to cheer on his Iowa Hawkeyes, even though they were playing like an hour from his house.
He's got that Florida blood. He's got that Florida blood in him now. You don't have that Gator blood.
Put on a parka, bro.
He's got Florida blood.
All right, we're going to talk to him coming up next. I want to remind you, and I was watching the other night, the Stuart Scott 30 for 30. I can't recommend that enough. It is well worth your time, and you will find that on the ESPN app, and you will find so much more. When a trophy is raised, it can feel like the season is over, but on the ESPN app, it never really is, because with more than 47,000 live events, plus originals, which is my favorite, highlights, and coverage from every corner of the sports world, there's always something to dive into. There is no off-season, just everything a fan needs to keep going and going and going. Always in season. Get all of ESPN, all in one place. Download the ESPN app on your TV or your phone today. Brian Bulaga joins us next. It's Will Dean Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
This is a crazy season. There isn't a juggernaut.
Because we're on the postseason.
There's not one team that this team can't beat. And as we saw earlier, there's not one team that this team cannot get beaten by.
You're listening to 100.5 ESPN.
This is the one time, Tausch, when I don't love the royalty free music. Like, this doesn't, famous friends, I get all fired up, I know what it's time for. This music means
I got an idea.
Did you want to tell us what it is?
Karaoke version, sing it with Jesse, and then we could open with that, because that would be royalty.
I love that idea. Let's do it. Jesse, set it up.
I knew you would.
Joining us now, he is our famous friend. He is Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Do you miss the music, too? Do you miss the music?
Yeah, that's why I would love for Jesse to do a karaoke version of it and have it play.
Totally.
It'd be great.
Would you sing backup vocals with me?
No, I would be too enthralled listening to Jesse that I don't want to interrupt his... time to shine.
That sounds like I don't have a very good singing voice, and I'm looking for a reason to say. Do you have a good singing voice?
No.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. What you are good at is assessing offensive line play. We'll get into that a little bit later, but I did want to ask you, because the Packers released Clayton Tune yesterday. I'm always leery because I didn't talk to his agent yesterday, so I don't know if there's a plan there or not. I don't want to say, oh, he was so bad they never want to see him again.
Feels like it.
but that's how it feels. And my question for you is, because you know, most of these guys aren't going to play anyway, what did you think of how the offensive line protected him? Did he ever really have a chance in this game?
No, he didn't have a chance. I mean, let's be real. He didn't have a chance. There were, you know, to his credit, or not to his credit, but kind of in his defense, there were times he snapped the ball and tackles were beat, or there was penetration immediately and, you know, pass protection, and he was pressured, like, under that 2 seconds, which is crazy to think, but he was pressured in under the 2 seconds. And I don't care who you are as a quarterback, that's going to be very difficult to do anything. And so you put him out there, and I think by this, you know, at this point in time, we all understood the assignment of this game. It wasn't to win the game, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And you had him out there, and you kind of fed him to the wolves a little bit, and the wolves ate. We'll just put it that way. And they got after him, and a lot of sacks and hits and pressures and things like that. So he really didn't have a fighting chance from the opening bell. I mean, it was like a Tyson fight, right? Like, kind of walks out there, guy throws a couple jabs, and the next thing you know, you're catching a right uppercut. And, yep, just
good
like
night,
that.
Good night, Mike Spinks.
Yep, and it's over. So
Brian, did you – Tausch and I have talked about this a fair amount, and as Tausch very wisely put it, it's going to largely be a referendum on which coach took the right approach to their last game. Now, the Bears had something to play for. They didn't know that the Commanders were going to give them the number two seed anyway by beating the Eagles. But there's value in the number two seed. I know 2 versus 3. But the one gets knocked off, and you are guaranteed, if you continue to advance, of playing the NFC Championship game at home, if you continue to advance. So there was something on the line for them. For the Packers, there was nothing. They were locked into number 7. I think you and I started the week in the same camp of they should probably play, given the way things have gone the last 3 weeks. I came around to the thought that there's just nothing to be gained here and only risk. You, I don't think, did change your mind. Tell me how you view it and what your concerns might be now for Saturday.
Yeah, I you know, and I think that there's, you know, per base cases, there's room for who plays and who doesn't, right? Like, I think that is very clear. Like, Watson, no. Jacobs, no. Love, no. Zach Tom, no. You know, like, I think it's a per-case basis of who you sit and who you play. Like, I am all, like, erring on that side of caution for certain guys and things like that. I don't know the exact percentage of actual starters that are going to play this weekend and who actually got time against Minnesota, but I think there's guys that could have used reps and used some time out there, whether that's a quarter, whether that's 2 series, you know, a half. I don't know what it is. I think that there could have been some valuable snaps taken by some guys. And that's kind of where I kind of plant my flag on it, right? And I'm not saying that guys needed to play the whole game. I'm not saying that if they lost this game, it was the end of it. Like, we already kind of understood what was happening by all the roster moves, who was starting at quarterback and things. Like, we kind of understood that. I just thought that there was some value to play some guys in that game. And based on a 3-game losing streak, your last game against Baltimore, I think we can all agree that was a little embarrassing. Yeah, I think we could say that. So I think just for guys to get out there and trying to get some momentum going into this week, I thought would have been positive. And I understand there's risk to everything. And I was told all week on X and the weekend, oh, you can't have it both ways. I'm not asking to have it both ways. I'm just saying I'm not looking for Jordan Love to play. If he did play, he turns around and hands it off 15 times and then he gets out of the game. If you were going to actually play him, like, you literally don't even put him at risk. You don't play Watson. Jacobs definitely doesn't play. Like, there's certain guys that, no, you don't put them out there. Like, you just, you don't do it. But I think there were guys who could have used some reps. I think the offensive line could have used some reps. I think some of the guys on the D-line could have used some reps. I don't know the percentage of the guys on the back half of the defense that, you know, played. I know Diggs was one. Obviously, he's brand new, so he's going to play.
So Diggs played 33 snaps. The two safeties, which they did get a scare with Javon Bullard briefly there. Him and Evan Williams played 21 snaps apiece. Carrington Valentine did not play. Keyshawn Nixon, who I'd like to write about this week if he'd grace us with his presence in the locker room when we're in there, he requested to start and play. Mm-hmm. And Matt LaFleur said, okay, you got to play the whole first series. So he did, opposite of Diggs. So he played a little bit. I'm really intrigued by him this week and by Romeo Doubs, because obviously they were critical pieces of what happened a couple of weeks ago in Chicago. But beyond that, Brian, you know, the other guys that played a lot, I thought there were a few that flashed, right? Baron Sorrell, et cetera.
Yep.
But
yep.
The guys that if you thought they needed the work, that because they play a significant amount of snaps for you, they didn't play. And that's your point.
Yep. Yes. I'll give it to Keyshawn Nixon. I didn't know that he volunteered to do it. That mm-hmm. he said, I want to play. Like, I give him a lot of credit for that. Like, I really do. Like, and to go out there, because you know who you're competing against from a wide receiver standpoint, you're going up against really good receivers. So why not go out there and at least get a series in, right? Get a series in, play. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Because then he goes into next week. I get he didn't play a bunch. But he goes into this week against Chicago, and I went out there. I played. I feel like I got some reps in, and it's not foreign to him now. Going back out there on the road in an even bigger environment, obviously the playoffs always are, and you go play, and people may say this shouldn't be foreign to them. They should just be able to just pick up and go. Well, listen, I don't know if you were ever the one seed when you were playing all the time, but there's something to be said about sitting, not doing anything, and then going out there and trying to match intensity of teams that have been playing. Like, there is something to be said about it. And, you know, for him to go out there and play, and that's for the two safeties too, right? Those two guys play, they have action. They went against mm-hmm. a good wide receiver group. Their nervous system's firing. And to me, I'm not saying to play the whole game. And I think that's maybe where people are misunderstanding me, that I'm saying like they should have played the whole game. No, but like, I just think that there's some value in getting some snaps in and then come off, because the inactive list was pretty much who we thought wasn't going to play, right? Like, I think that was pretty obvious going into the game, like who the inactives were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it wasn't like, well, we need to fill roster spots. Well, like, the roster was pretty much set, right? Like, looking on that sideline, there were a ton of starters in uniform that just didn't play. So, mm-hmm. like, it was kind of one of those things where it's like, if you gave them a series or two, and even if you offensively, right, do the minimum and try to, I mean, you can't avoid injuries, and you can, in Chicago, you can't avoid injuries either. It's part of the game, but you can game plan around, you know, let's be somewhat
simplify
safe
it,
here.
Get the ball out of your hand, run.
Yes.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Let's be somewhat safe here. And then we get them in for a series two and get them out, and then they're done. And to me, there's value in that. And I always thought, for me personally, being able to play and then go into a playoff week was beneficial. And that's
hey, Blue,
that was just my two cents on it.
Yeah, and thinking back, help me out on the 2011 season. You're 15-1. And that playoff game is what all Packer fans will think because of the rest. A-Rod doesn't play. Flynn has the big game. You know, I know Cliffy got put back out there after weeks off. Greg Jennings took some time off. And you could see it. Like, the mm-hmm. rust in that first half with some of the turnovers and some of the misses, you could say it didn't have any correlation. Do you think that team looks back and after that season wished we should have maybe played a little bit so we weren't as rusty? Because you just feel like if you win that game, you're probably going to be back-to-back Super Bowl champs. And you took a little time. And again, it's always going to be judged. It's the referendum, right? It's judged on what
yep.
you do that following week. And that game, that season, it didn't go well. Did
yep.
you guys ever have conversations about that?
You know, we didn't have conversations about it as players. I would imagine that if Mike, and I don't know, I can't read Coach McCarthy's mind, but I would imagine if he had another shot at that, if we could take the hot tub time machine back, he probably would. He probably would play some guys, would be my guess. He would probably play some guys for a couple series or a quarter or whatever it may be, just to play them, just so that they get some game action, because that was 2 weeks off. I mean, 2 weeks off before you go play another game. And
this is 3 weeks for Jordan. Quarter and some change, he's going to be 3 weeks since he's seen a live pass rush that's trying to kill him.
Yes, 100%. So, like, I think you look at that first half of that Giants game. I mean, I remember it vividly. The first third down where Aaron just didn't connect with Greg on a route that they've been connecting with all year. He overthrew him just a little bit. And when that fell incomplete, because almost nothing fell incomplete that season, like no ball touched the ground, it felt like. And when that one touched the ground, when Greg was open and Aaron just missed him, it was kind of that feeling like this something that wasn't right. Like that never happens. Aaron would be able to drop it in a little bucket on that route every single time, or Greg, the timing, whatever it was, I don't know, because I have the timing of the routes and all that, but like that just never happened. And can you contribute it to taking 2 weeks off? Maybe, maybe not. But like I just. That's why I'm always so pro playing when you can, if guys are healthy, not the whole thing, but just a little bit, just so the timing and the rust stays fresh, right? Like that's all I'm saying. And I think people got a little upset at me about it because look what happened to Watson.
You took a little smoke, huh? Blue, it feels like for the first time you took a little X smoke.
Oh, I did. And I go, well, the Watson situation, as we all know, last year was unique, right? It was very unique because someone was sick and they activated him to play. So like it was just a very unique situation. So like you can't compare year to year, like, right? Like that's what I always say, like this year is not the same as last year. They weren't going into the playoffs on a 4-game losing streak last year. Like it's just a different, every season's different, every situation's different, and we can't just base it off of what happened last year, because I mean, listen, I wish we could always base it off of that and things would just turn around perfect, but it's never that way.
All right, quickly.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, but one more thing for me, Jason. On the flip side of that, everybody is talking on the, you know, play your guys, and you saw Ben Johnson. They may have lost a corner to a concussion because of it. Dan Campbell has been play your guys, drag them out to the sea, drown them. And none of their teams can stay healthy. Like they so now you could say, well, Green Bay does it the other way, and Mike is out, and Kraft's out. You got 15 guys out. You're gonna get hurt in football. It's gotta come down to what do I think this group needs to give them the best chance to win a playoff game. That's what it is. Matt LaFleur picked this way. Ben Johnson picked the other way, and that's where we'll see a referendum, and the results come in quick. There's no, you know, backroom counting or anything like that. You're going to know 10 o'clock, 10:30 on Saturday how it shakes out.
I even think for that you're going to find out in the first quarter of the game. To be honest, who comes out a certain way, right out of the gates? Like, and that to me is that's the fun part of seeing, because we know what this offense and this defense looks like when they're playing, right? Like, and things are in sync and in rhythm and all that. So like, with this, especially with Jordan missing the time that he's missed, obviously concussion and all that, but you'll see if he's sharp, right? Like, and you know when Jordan Love is sharp, you can see it. It is very, it's precise. It's very calculated. I mean, everything is in order. If things look a little discombobulated in the first quarter, there's something to be said about it.
You're right.
Like, there's no time in the playoffs for rust. Like, you can't say, oh, well, we were rusty, that's why we lost the game. Well, sorry, like, no, at that point there's no next week, so doesn't matter at that point.
Just to be clear, that 2011 game when Matt Flynn had that 480-yard, 6-touchdown day, the Packers' inactives that day were Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, Charles Woodson, James Starks, Clay Matthews, Greg Jennings, and Brian Bulaga. All of the other offensive line starters, Jordy Nelson, Donald Driver, JerMichael Finley, they all started. Newhouse started in your spot, though. Now, from a snap count perspective, obviously I'm sure that was before they would put the snap counts in the stat books, but I'm sure those offensive linemen didn't play more than a series or two, right?
I don't think they did.
Were you dealing with an injury, or were you just so valuable they didn't want to play you?
No, I was not that valuable. That was the week prior. We were in Kansas City, and I got rolled into on the left knee that I had surgery on that offseason. That's when Derek Sherrod went in and broke his leg.
Yeah,
if you recall,
I do recall.
So I got rolled into in Kansas City, I think in the third quarter, and McKenzie said, "That was that. You're done."
Okay.
And that's why the following week they just shut me down for that game.
And then you had the bye, and then you guys played, obviously, against the Giants. All right. We will have more with Brian Bulaga. This has become a new tradition on Wednesdays where we give away an Iron Jock item.
I love this new tradition. I don't have blood on my hands either. I don't have any blood on my hands. I love this.
My only request would be, as much as you would love to stick it to the producer, if you could just be judicious in just how harshly you treat him, that would be great.
155 was too many yesterday.
Yeah, that was on Hunter.
Tausch,
he's like Pontius Pilate, man. He washed his hands of it. So, Tausch, tell us about Iron Jock, and Brian can pick a caller.
All right, new year, new goals, and Iron Jock is here to help you stick to them, whether you're hitting the gym, heading to work, or just trying to smell a whole lot better in 2026. Iron Jock gear has you covered right now. ESPN listeners, take 30% off all Iron Jock gear on orders over $75. Use that promo code ESPN30 at the checkout. That is, again, promo code ESPN30. Look good, smell great, and start the year strong with Iron Jock. And, Brian, we need a number. I need a
All
number
right.
from
so,
844-770-3776.
That's a number.
Start calling. Yep.
All right, so this is perfect for me, actually, since Jesse had so much to say about Iowa in the bowl game. So we're going to go
He
with...
also called you soft as baby poop for not going to the ReliaQuest Bowl it was too cold for Big Strong Brian. Just to give you a fair reference of all your info.
Yes, so we're going to go with the combined score. Iowa won 34-27. And then we're going to add Iowa's win total, which is 9 on the season. So that's going to be 70. Caller 70 will be.
Okay.
Boy, that's pretty. That's actually pretty nice.
That's nice.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
If you heard the open to the show, you would not have stopped at 70. But that's very. That just shows. As you've matured,
character.
How much nicer you... Yeah, your character. Exactly. Yeah. Caller 70 right now for your chance to win an Iron Jock hat. Again, that's caller 70 to win an Iron Jock hat, 844-770-3776.
More with that nice and allegedly soft as baby poop? I must have missed that. Maybe my headphones cut
Jesse,
out.
I mean, he told me that yesterday. Yeah.
Okay. Soft as baby poop. Brian Bulaga continues next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
This sounds a little more, I mean, for a guy who was allegedly, what was it again? Soft as baby poop. This sounds a little tougher. I like this.
Okay.
Brian, I know Tausch has more questions for you. I want to sneak this one in before we move
forward. Yeah, Jason, you got one you want to jump in?
I'm just
curious because I don't want to talk a ton about Minnesota, but there were some guys that haven't played a bunch of positions, and I wanted to get his thoughts on Monk at center. There's a possibility that could be the guy next year. And obviously Jordan Morgan playing left tackle. What did you think?
I'm going to predict that this will not be a rave review based on that response.
Yeah, it's not going to be a rave review by any stretch. Essentially, I don't remember the total offensive output on the day, but the guys up front, it was not great, right? They had a couple nice runs here and there, right? Like, and that's being nice, right? There was a couple nice runs.
Yep, sure. Yeah, they also had a 18-yard loss, which didn't help the numbers.
Correct. And then the pass protection was not good, right? I mean, there were a couple times where DNs were scot-free by, jumping the count, things like that. Just a lot of pressure, around the edges, up the middle. It just wasn't great, right? And I say this, too, because, like, I get it from as a tackle and offensive line sympathizer, it is hard when snap counts change and timing changes and rhythm changes to get off on snap counts and things like that. But still, at the end of the day, it wasn't a great performance by the unit up front, right? And I don't think anyone would say you're wrong. They played really well. It just Minnesota's defense was just that good. And it's like, I get Minnesota's defense is good, but still got to block. Still got to move bodies out of the way, still got to protect, and it wasn't a great offensive performance, right? I mean, should have been 0 points, but they kicked the field goal and it was 3.
Covered.
Yeah, they covered. They definitely covered, I guess, which is a hot topic. It's hard to judge guys when everyone else around them hasn't played any football, right? Like, from center to left guard, then obviously Jordan Morgan going to left tackle. Yeah, he played left tackle in the preseason, but he hasn't played any left tackle until this game. And then he has some mistakes where doesn't get off the snap, right? The ball snap, he doesn't move. Then there's sacks and sack fumbles. And it's just really hard to, like, make a judgment besides what you saw live and then what you saw replayed back. Like, it just wasn't great. Like, I thought, like, Belton was physical in the run game. I thought he was finishing guys, and Monk even at times finished some guys too in the run game as well. But that's big picture. It wasn't a great output. We'll just put it that way. And that's just my opinion on it. Now,
Blue,
you put.
Are you discouraged by Jordan Morgan's? Because again, it's one game. He's going to get that crack at left tackle next year, unless something crazy happens. Are you discouraged by that, or do you still believe that's his best spot?
I believe it's his best spot. I do, and I'm not discouraged by it. I'm more
concerned
When you get the opportunity, you have to make the most out of it. Like you have to go out there and perform at a high level against a good defensive ends and play a certain way. And listen, I don't know what the communication was on the couple times where guys were laid off the ball. And I mean, I don't know what happened there. I mean, I've been part of that at times where, hey, the ball gets fired back there and you're in the old blank mode and you have to try to figure it out. But I mean, it just didn't look great. Right. Like, and that's really all I can say about it. And the thing is, he'll have to go into an off season and really train and prepare to try to make that spot his own and be, you know, ready to go if that is the opportunity that he gets, which I'd imagine it will be. So, and at the center position, Monk hasn't played, I think, at all besides against Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. And again, that's also hard to judge someone on when they haven't done anything really all season, and then you put them out there against that defense in that situation where you're surrounded by essentially your only starter is Belton next to you. You're playing next to a left guard that just got pulled up from P squad, essentially. And the quarterback's not the guy. The running back's not the guy. There's no really not your starting group around you. It's hard to make an assessment, a true assessment, besides did they win or lose their blocks, or were they able to get movement on the line of scrimmage? Did they hold up in pass pro? How are they against Minnesota's pressure packages and things like that? And it wasn't clean. And I'm not saying anything that everyone didn't see, right? Like breaking news to everybody here.
You're not.
No, it was pretty harsh. Pretty harsh. Yeah, very harsh by you. Jacob Monk, he had played before on the offensive line before the Vikings game. He played 6 snaps after they waved the white flag against Baltimore. So to Brian's point, that is not like that defense – really not having play. I don't know if they know what they have. I did talk to Sean Ryan yesterday. I want to ask you about him. But first, look, the most important thing here, and we've kind of buried the lead, with 2 right tackles on the show, Zach Thomas cleared for takeoff. I'm hoping he's going to talk about it. But Matt LaFleur said he's playing. So how does that – so now you've got Sheeto at left tackle. You got Aaron Banks at left guard. You got Sean Ryan at center. You got Anthony Belton at right guard. And you've got your guy, Zach Tom, back. So as long as your tackles stay healthy, as long as everybody stays healthy, I suppose, we don't have to worry about whether Jordan Morgan is any good or not until next year, theoretically. So how much of a boost, because they definitely were cautious with him. Right? I mean, he's missed basically even longer than Jordan Love. He was also injured in that Denver game, which, by the way, they were winning before they lost all these guys. So I'm still not convinced that this team stinks just because they lost 4 in a row. But how does the dynamic change when you got Zach Tom healthy and on the line?
I think, for one, you look at the protection from the first Bears-Packers game when he played the whole thing. The protection was really good when that line played together in Green Bay against the Bears in the first matchup. So, like, I think what he does to you, he solidifies one part of the offensive line, which Tosh and I have always talked about this. That means if you think that there's a spot where you need to chip or thump, you can get away from him and allow him to do his job. And it helps solidify other parts of your protection unit. And I think getting him back – it does just that. Like, you can leave him, and obviously we don't know the exact health of him. I don't know how good the knee is or the back or what he was dealing with. But he's had some time off, which I'm hoping has given him time to get that as healthy as possible, right? Like, and that he'll be able to manage by himself against Sweat or whoever it is that he goes against for a duration of the game. And when you're able to leave a tackle just isolated and worry about sliding the protection elsewhere or things like that, maybe you don't get that headshot that Jordan took because you're bringing in extra linemen to try to pass protect, right? You could just send a tight end out there, have him thump on his way out, and then the tackle takes that over, and you're solid on one side because you feel good about your right tackle, and you're good to go, right? And to me, that's what I'm hoping we see is that protection unit that we saw the first matchup of Bears Packers and Lambeau. That's what you see in this iteration of this matchup in the third time, is solid protection. Jordan Love has time. He can go through all his reads, and there's no worry of that. You know, you're bringing in a tight end to block, or you bring in an extra offensive lineman to try to shore up protection. You have 5 guys that you feel good about getting the job done.
Yeah, I think Hello, that's
who's
one
O-line,
of the...
Which O-line do you like? Do you think Chicago's O-line is better than Green Bay's?
I think from an interior standpoint, Chicago's really strong, right? I think
yeah,
you
I
look
agree.
At
yep.
you look at Chicago's middle 3, I mean, when you got Tooney, I mean, or Tooney.
Tooney. Well, you got it right.
Yeah, Tooney. When you have a guy like that.
Same as the quarterback from Green Bay a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yo, Toon Dog.
Yeah. When you have a guy like that, and then it's, what, is it Jonah Williams or Jack? Is it Jonah Williams or Jackson?
Jonah
right
Hill.
Guard?
I think it's Jonah Hill.
I don't think it's Jonah Hill. I know Jonah Hill, but I don't think it's that Jonah Hill.
Wait a minute. You know Jonah Hill?
Well, I know. Yeah,
he hangs out. He goes to concerts with him.
So yeah, wait. So Clifton connected the offensive lineman with Justin Timberlake. You got a hookup with Jonah Hill?
I don't. I don't. I just know.
Oh, you just know who he is.
Yeah, like super bad. And
who did City have the connection with? How did you guys end up at Pitch Perfect? How did that all play out? Was that City, or was that Teach?
I didn't do that. I think that was like a Clay. Maybe it was City. I don't know. City. I don't know who he knew for that hookup. I don't. We literally just watched that. We literally watched that the other day with my kids, and my daughter was mad that I did not do that. She's very upset.
Yeah, you should have been in it.
Yeah, totally with her on that.
Did you have a chance to do it? You turned it down, or did they not invite you?
No, I had a chance. I was rehabbing my knee from an ACL tear down in Florida. I was rehabbing, and that's kind of what that was. Kind of my main goal was getting back.
Would you do it looking back?
NFL season.
Would you do it now, knowing your kids wanted you to do it?
Knowing my daughter, my son, Declan, he gave me a hard time for it too. Knowing that I did it, but then I watched the scene and it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I didn't do it. But I mean, knowing that they would want me to do it, I would have done it, right? If I would have had kids at the time would've. And they're like, you need to do it, I would have done it. But I watched the scene again, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I didn't do this. Like, I'm glad I just stayed in Florida and rehab my knee.
Did Abby, what did Abby tell you to do at the time? Did Abby say go, or did she say you shouldn't?
She didn't have an opinion. I mean, she was just like, do whatever you want. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, she didn't really care one way or another. I mean, wouldn't have impacted her, you know.
Well,
those royalties are still paying off, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I wonder.
That's not royalty free.
Sitting what he gets every time that movie
every
is on.
Every time it's on free,
gets like
$7. I'll text him right now. I'll see what he gets from royalties from
Pitch, a quarter,
Netflix, and free,
not even.
And,
yeah.
Still getting those checks from Kohl's. All right, Brian, I did want to ask you this before we let you go. So I did spend some time with Sean Ryan, who wears your number 75, yesterday, and I'm finishing up that story for Channel 3000. But, you know, he said it was not easy during the course of the season to compartmentalize kind of the uncertainty of his future. And the way things have played out, again, I don't know what Goody is thinking, and neither does he. But I think he's made a pretty strong case to say, hey, they're probably going to move on from Elton. He's had his 30th birthday. He's coming off of an injury, right? I think he's made a case that they should at least consider re-signing him to be their center. What say you?
Yeah, he's made the case for it for sure, right? And obviously when you transition to a position like center, there's going to be mistakes, and he's had a couple of those with the snaps and things like that. I mean, those are, I mean, unfortunate timing on those mistakes, obviously. But there's going to be some growing pains with that. But I think if you look at how he's performed overall, I think he's done a pretty nice job, right? Like, I mean, I think stepping into that role at the time he did, really, you could say, oh, well, he took some snaps during training camp, or he took some during the week of practice. But if you don't train for that, over a course, you know, a long course of time to get ready, that's difficult work to come in mid-season and pick up the ball and direct the offensive line and do that. So to give him a lot of credit for what he's done, I'm with you. Like, I think he's made a case to do it, especially if you resign him and you give him actual time to train at that position, and that's where he's at, right? There's no kind of where he was
at.
It
feels like they don't like him. It feels like they don't like him.
It always feels
that way,
doesn't it, Tausch?
They're always trying to replace him. They don't like him.
There's something, because, I mean, when he's playing guard, he's always having to look over his shoulder, rotating in and out, do this, do that.
Yep.
At the center position, if they just make that his and that's where he's going to play, like, he could excel at it, right? I think he's I think he's physical in the run game. I think he's good in pass protection because I thought he was good in pass protection as a guard. I thought that was something that he did well, that he was physical at guard at in pass protection. He set a nice pocket when obviously, you know, not every rep's perfect. But so I think at guard or at center, I think he does a nice job. But what they're thinking and, you know, what they're going to do, as we all know, like, you have to pay X amount of guys, right? Like, yeah. And you can only pay X amount of guys and things like that. And I'm not saying he'd get this massive contract. It would be a more of a proven.
It's got to be 10 mil. Starting center's 10 to 12 million a year.
Yeah, well, that won't be. That, that
they ain't
going to
pay him
it.
That.
Right. And
they're going to runyon him. He's going to get runyoned,
probably,
in my opinion. Hey, thank you for your 4 years. We appreciate it. Go get your money. Good luck. And then we'll take your comp pick.
His over whatever for whatever this is worth, and we prefer the BFF Bulaga football focus. But he's 31st out of 40 graded centers from Pro Football Focus, 40th out of 40 for his pass blocking grade, 17th out of 40 for his run blocking grade. So again, I'm not saying that's the end all be all, but
yeah. That's unique for centers in pass blocking grades when they're in nickel most of the time and they're sliding and helping. Right. It's always
okay.
I mean, okay. I look at it more of he's had a short span to even put a dent in the PFF ranking of.
Totally
so if
agree.
He has like. If he has like 10 bad plays, it's going to tank whatever he's rated, no matter what. So like it does it. And obviously the bad snaps are going to count in their grading scale as like minus 100. So
yeah,
like,
I mean, the one where they're calling the can play and he puts it off of Malik's face, that was less than ideal.
The speed on that snap. I'm telling you, you've seen Blue, you're a big soccer guy. I see that YouTube video Eleanor keeps pulling up for me where the goalie is sitting in a chair and they're just firing balls off his face. That reminded – it brought me a chuckle. I think if you're going to make a big splash in free agency, and I know Green Bay's not going to have a ton of cap space, your guy, he's out with Baltimore now, the Iowa Cat, or we draft the Iowa center that's coming out that won the big award. Center, I would not be shocked. That's going to be a spot that they are going to look long and hard at if they don't bring Sean Ryan back on a smaller contract.
Take the BAH, the best available Hawkeye.
Linderbaum.
All right. All right, Brian, I will talk to you tomorrow on the Homer Hour, hopefully, and then I will talk to you on Saturday night as we get ready for Packers-Bears. We appreciate all your insights. And
couple hundred bucks a year is what the boys from PP get. Couple hundred bucks a year. Right? They call that mailbox money. Show up at the mailbox, couple hundred bucks.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pretty
way
good.
To go,
now,
Bulaga,
do I think he's
lying?
You missed the boat.
Do I think he's lying about how many hundreds of bucks? I do, but I can only go off of what he texted.
All right. Well, when they come out with the fourth or fifth sequel, we'll circle back with Brian. All right, guys. Brian, we appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
That is Brian Bulaga. We got some catching up to do, as we often do when we talk to Brian Bulaga. The 10 o'clock hour starts at a league record 10:23. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.